Welcome to the Script and Style Show, the web show where we talk about web development with the people that make it happen. Today's episode is brought to you by TrackJS JavaScript Error Monitoring. Know when errors hit your website with the context to find and fix bugs fast with TrackJS. Start your free trial today at TrackJS.com. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of the Script and Style Show with me, Todd Gardner, and my co-host, David Walsh. This is the web show where we talk about web development and the personalities that make things happen. And I all of a sudden heard my own feedback here secondly. So yeah, this show is totally live. We do not edit it. So when things go wrong, like just then, we're just going to roll right through it. So before we get into our topic of the day, I wanted to quick check in with David Walsh. He has recently transitioned over into the Firefox DevTools team at Mozilla. How's it going over there?
It's interesting. Things are very interesting right now. You know how like you join a new team and you want to like come in, fix everything, create awesome new stuff, and just sort of really impress everybody?
That
hasn't happened. there've been issues with like Travis CI, and I've had to build Firefox on Windows to test just Windows bugs within the debugger. And it seems like every time I try and do something that I consider to be really simple, something gets in my way. And it's like, oh no, I want to look good. I want to be perfect for this. But we're slowly getting there. The team is really supportive. But, you know, there's that like voice inside my head that keeps telling me like, this isn't perfect. This isn't the way it's supposed to be going, which I think is, you know, highly relatable to what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, that's the perfect lead-in because our topic today is imposter syndrome, which is something that Dave and I were actually talking about at the end of the last episode, how we both feel like imposters doing this show. And we quick stopped our little banter and said, hey, this is a show onto itself. We should talk about it next time. So that's our topic today. And then I invited another person to join us today. Mr. David Neal, at Reverend Geek on Twitter, is joining us today. David and I are conference buddies. We run into each other at a bunch of software development conferences and hang out. And he has a couple of amazing talks that I've been to. One of them is called Public Speaking Without Barfing on Your Shoes, which is very relevant if you're looking to get into the conference speaking gig. And the performance of that I saw, he talked quite a bit about imposter syndrome and how he overcomes it. So welcome, David, to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I love your drawings. Like, I'm sure even people who might not be familiar with you have seen some of your sketch drawings across the internet. You draw all your own slides and a bunch of funny JavaScript stuff.
Yeah, JavaScript's an easy target. So, I have a lot of fun with that. Yeah, I got started drawing some of my slides, and it turned into a little more than a hobby, and I have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. Well, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for joining our conversation today. So today we're going to talk about imposter syndrome, which is this feeling that I think we all get at least every once in a while, that this thing that we're doing, that other people are starting to see us see that we are, you know, quote unquote, experts at, or that we're good at, or that we're known for. And we don't really feel like we're experts in this. Like we don't feel like we deserve the position that we're in or the responsibilities that we get or that sort of thing. And so what we wanted to talk about today is just share some of our experiences when we've felt imposter syndrome and how we've overcome it, so that we can reach out to everybody and say, hey, this is normal. You're not an imposter just because you feel this way, and you still belong in this thing we do. David Walsh, you wrote a really popular couple of blog posts about this.
Yeah, I did. The funny thing is that as developers, I think of myself as a programmer, we always think that people are most interested in code and solving specific problems. But the most popular blog post that I've ever had was that blog post of imposter syndrome. And not only that, but I would say a good 20% of the comments with regard to that blog post were from people outside of the tech industry. It's like, hey, I just started my doctorate degree, or hey, I just started this new job. And for me, that was really eye-opening, because you just wouldn't. The technical field is one where a lot of people can look at you and poo-poo you, right? And say, no, there's this other function that's 28% faster and that sort of thing. And I didn't think about it outside of our profession, but it's something that's very clearly prevalent everywhere. And so I'm really proud of that post, and I'm glad it's gotten the response that it has. Todd, what experience do you have with imposter syndrome?
One of the times that I felt most like an imposter, and there have been lots of times over the course of my career when I felt like, hey, I don't really deserve any of this stuff that's going on right now. But probably the biggest one was shortly after we launched the first version of Trek.js, which is the company I work for. We built an error monitoring service. And so we were in like a private beta a number of years ago. And the service was, you know, at that point, duct tape and chicken wire. Like it worked, but it barely worked. But we had signed our first major customer. We'd signed Major League Soccer to put us on one of their pages. And that was awesome, except that this thing that like we felt that we knew was duct tape and chicken wire was all of a sudden on a bunch of really popular Major League Soccer pages. And we were like, that's awesome, but that's not really cool either. And it was I felt guilty that this piece of software that I had written was now on all of these pages when we weren't quite ready for it at that particular point. And it was a very scary moment. Like, it made us feel that, should we be doing this? Is what we have good enough to really be doing what it's doing and what we're talking about it doing? It took a lot of sessions at the bar to get over that, I think. What about you, David Neal? You talk about this in some of your presentations. How do you cope with imposter syndrome?
Yeah. Well, before I go into some of my story, I just wanted to make a comment on what David Walsh said earlier about other professions and other people that also share this feeling of imposter syndrome. And it might be useful if we go ahead and just define what imposter syndrome is. And it's, you know, I think we've alluded to it several times, but it's this feeling that you don't deserve what you have, and or you feel like you're a fraud, that people are going to find you out, kind of thing. And I was doing some research on imposter syndrome a while back, and I came across this article that was for artists and like photographers and other creative types. And the thing that resonated with me about what they were talking about with imposter syndrome is the fact that every new project is different, and every new, you know, it's like the things that we've done in the past don't, you know, really translate to what we're working on right now. So you gain experience, but every new project is like a, you know, a whole new level set of what you're going to be working on. And so there's this anxiety that comes along with it. And I think that ties in with what you're talking about, David Walsh, with your joining a new team. There's you underestimated the amount of stuff that you've got to learn in order to be a functioning member of the team. So, yeah, there's a lot, can be a lot of false starts and the anxiety that comes along with that.
Absolutely. And I don't even know that I underestimated what I needed to know. I think I thought I knew more, I guess. And not only that, but I think that one thing that will, when we get to the coping part of this, I think one thing that we realize is that people don't judge you as harshly as you judge yourself. And I think that's a big part of it as well.
Yep. So for me, I could talk about lots of stories, but coming into when I first started getting involved in the developer community before I became a speaker, I felt just really out of place because at that point in my career, I had spent most of my career being like the sole developer on a, you know, working on a lot of different projects. You know, I didn't work on big teams where I had other developers that I interacted with most of the time. I was usually the one, you know, Mr. Do-It-All on a lot of these small companies. And so coming into a developer meetup, for example, and hearing other people's stories of things that they were working on that were like, in my imagination, were so much more complicated and so much bigger and, you know, bigger scale. And they're talking about things like distributed computing and architecture and all these things. It's like, wow, I don't even deserve to be in this room. You know, I don't even know the vocabulary that some of these people are using. And so it was really, really intimidating. And then once I got into speaking and wanting to get more involved in the community, giving talks and writing blog posts were the things that caused me the most anxiety and these feelings of imposter syndrome. But at the same time, they became my key to help me to overcome it. Once I started to hear feedback about the positive impact I was having on people in their personal or professional lives, at first I thought it was a fluke. It's like, well, I got lucky, or, you know, oh, that person is just being nice. But after a while, it became harder to dismiss or ignore. It's like, wait a minute, there are people out there that are actually benefiting from some of the things that I'm talking or writing about. It's like, wait, how is that possible?
That's an awesome feeling. It makes the time that you put into writing and sharing these feelings worth it.
Yeah. One of the things I think is really important when we talk about imposter syndrome is that when you're a beginner at something, if you're truly, you know, whether you are a brand new, fresh out of college, or a junior developer, or maybe you've been in the industry for a number of years, but you're starting with some kind of new technology on a new team, you are at that beginning stage, and you may feel, you know, inadequate. You may feel like you don't know enough to get to what you need to do. You don't deserve to be in the position that you're in. That's not necessarily imposter syndrome. That's reality. That's, you know, you really don't know, but, you know, there's opportunity there. And so to overcome those fears and that anxiety, that's what is going to propel you to dive deeper and learn and to, you know, strive to overcome those feelings. And that's natural. So I want to encourage people, because technology changes so, so quickly, and we're always learning new stuff. Everyone is a beginner at something. And so we're all feeling a little bit of pressure and anxiety over, wow, I don't even know what I don't know, kind of thing. We all have to start at the beginning and push ourselves to learn more and more. Once we have a good amount of experience and we're doing great things, but we're still not feeling comfortable, that's imposter syndrome.
Absolutely.
I think that's really important. You brought up that, like, it's especially harsh when, you know, you're just getting in and like there's all of this new tech around you. But even for people like into their career a little bit, tech is so huge. Like front end has a huge array of topics and technologies that mm-hmm. that we're expected to know, and we can't know them all. And it's okay if we don't know them all.
Like, absolutely.
Just because, you know, a lot of people are talking about React and you might not know a lot about React doesn't make you an imposter, right? Maybe you're just in the Angular camp. That's fine. Like, there are so few people who can understand all of it equally. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody. So we all know a different subset of the technology landscape, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that you're not good enough if you don't know what somebody else knows.
Yep. Knowledge is easy to acquire, but it's impossible to know everything. And I think it's when you are able to feel comfortable about the choices that you've made and what you are investing in. I wrote a blog post recently about, giving an awesome tech talk, and I address a little bit of imposter syndrome in that article. What I tell people is that, you know, people can argue semantics and they can argue best practices or architecture, but they can't argue with your experience. What technology you're currently using may not have the same use case as what other people have. You have a unique story, and that's okay. It's okay to be comfortable or to, let's take, for example, I'm not ashamed to admit that last year I did a project that, where I used jQuery. Now jQuery, you know, is not the
same. I mean, that's not bad at all. I mean, it's not like you said you did a project using MooTools.
Whoa.
Shots fired.
I kept my mouth shut. Everyone else should too.
what I should have done is like, I need to learn, I need to use React, or I need to learn Vue, or, everybody's doing Angular. I probably should learn to use Angular. No, I wanted to get this software done. It's like jQuery is the simplest solution. This is not some big giant application that, hundreds of people are going to use. It's just this one utility, and jQuery is all I need. And so whatever it is that you feel comfortable in working with, that's awesome. I mean, don't feel guilty about what you're investing in that you enjoy. Whatever it is, make sure that you're continuing to learn and to challenge yourself.
That's a really important topic. I think that one of the most common problems I see people suffering from is inability to ship, like just to get to be done with the piece of software or the project that they're working on, because they're chasing the next tech or chasing, some subtle improvement. I have lots of similar stories to the one you just told, where I just hacked something together quick and dirty to get it done, because it was about getting it done, not about,
right.
Like, software provides zero value for anybody if you never launch it. So it doesn't matter how polished your architecture is or how fast the page is. If you never launch it, it doesn't do anybody any good.
Yep.
So David, you mentioned the beginning a little bit earlier on. I wanted to share one of my beginning imposter syndrome stories because it's kind of funny. Like I shared in the first episode, in my origin story, I started out at a small web design shop, and Ray Bango of jQuery introduced me to Dylan of the Dojo Toolkit team with regard to a job. And I went through the interview process, and I did well, and they finally offered it to me. And when they offered it to me, I was like in shock, not because I'm like, oh, wow, I can do this. I was like, oh, shit, can I do this? and so before I responded to Dylan's offer, I called up their engineering manager and I made him talk me into taking this job, because I was so afraid that I wasn't good enough, that I needed someone to tell me I was, right?
Yeah.
And obviously I couldn't go to my current boss, but so that was the first one. And then the second one that inspired me to do the initial imposter syndrome post was that I got to Mozilla, right? And that was the big show for me. That's where I need to be perfect. Every time someone filed a bug about something I had done, it felt like an arrow into my heart. You know, it felt like total failure. And that's why it was so important.
Yeah. Yeah. I, something about what you said there is I think it is so important. It's been really, I've discovered it's been really important in my career is to surround myself with awesome people, people that are both encouraging and who are transparent about their own struggles. Better yet, I'm trying now to be that person who does the encouraging. I try to find ways of promoting the achievements of others because I've, you know, now that I've been in this industry for a while and have seen these patterns and things, I want to encourage other developers that they are, you know, what they're, you know, see the potential that's in them and encourage them to continue to move forward.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's a really good segue into, so like now we know what imposter syndrome is. We've all talked about, you know, what times that we felt it. What are some other ways that we can think of for people to sort of cope with that imposter syndrome, to feel okay about having it?
I think it's really important that there's no need to compare yourself with other people. You aren't this other person and they aren't you. For me, starting off the day by putting on a pair of pants is a great start. You know, two thumbs up. I am adulting today.
Sometimes I don't even achieve that.
Well, you take what you can get, okay? And focusing on someone else's accomplishments is a terrible waste of time, and it usually only leads to despair. There are people that I frequently meet in, you know, going to conferences and things who are seem to have way better strategies about how they've and spend their time and how they've developed their own career and how they've, you know, made, you know, big, you know, accomplishments in our industry. And I have to remind myself that, you know what, that works for them. And, there are lots of things that I'm doing that I can feel really good about and, be proud of. So for me personally, it's been really awesome you know, what's helped me to internalize my accomplishments is being able to look back over the last 6 months or the last year or even 2-3 years and see my own personal progression, you know, and regardless of how quickly someone else has, you know, climbed the ladder or been successful, I can look back at how far I've come in the last few years and think, wow, I'm doing better than I was. And I'm feeling really good about, you know, the track that I'm on.
Yeah. Noticing our own progress is really important. Todd, what about you? How do you cope with your imposter syndrome?
I really like what David Neal, what you just said. I forget where I heard it, but I've always had this mantra that I've like repeated to myself when I've really felt like an imposter, because I have this tendency to compare myself to see other people as my competition and be like, oh, why can't I be, you know, as clever as this person or as funny as that person or as good of a developer as that person? And what I need to constantly tell myself is that I'm not in competition with these people. Like, I'm competing with myself. I am my only competitor. I just need to live up to my own expectations. And that's it. I don't need to beat this other person. I don't need to be better than them. And so I think that was a really good point, and I really resonated with that. The best way that I've found to cope with it is stories just like this, is hearing other people that I look up to, hear them talk about the same stories, the same things, makes me feel like less of an imposter. I felt like an imposter basically for the first 2 years of starting TrekJS. And the only thing that really helped it was talking to other people who'd started software companies and hearing about how they had started. And there's a bunch of people who blog about this a lot, and that helps. But it really helps when you have like a one-on-one conversation with them, and they get down to the dirt and they said, oh, let me tell you how this really worked. This was awful. Here's how this whole thing came together. And hearing that everybody's doing this, is just that we're all kind of making it up as we go. We're all flying by the seat of our pants, trying to figure out what works. Hearing that makes me feel better about everything else. So that's kind of one of the reasons why I thought we should talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah. You think your software is bad. You should have seen our software. You know, the horror stories of, oh, if you only knew, you know, just how bad it is under the covers.
Yeah, all the stuff that was too bad to even make it on the daily WTF. What about you, David Walsh?
One of the things that has always helped me sort of get out of this funk is doing anything I can to put together momentum, right? Like, imposter syndrome can get to you to the point where you're like even paralyzed to start something, right? So for me, I'll do anything I can to chunk away at something. So for example, if I'm sort of in that imposter syndrome mode, I'll submit the most tiny pull request to a project because that's something, right? That's something that I can put on the board. I can point to and say, okay, that's completed. And then I'll, you know, build away at larger things. Whether it's on the project roadmap or not, whether it's for the project that I'm supposed to be working on or something else, even a small documentation fix, it's something that you've done that you can put away and it's on the board. And I touched on it earlier, but for me, I need to take a step back sometimes and sort of tell myself you're harder on yourself than anyone is with you. Right? Like, there's a reason why you're at where you're at. People trust you to do what you're supposed to do. Ask for help, you know, share a feeling, but don't keep it to yourself because you're only going to, you know, give yourself more anxiety and wind yourself up more.
One of the things that's been so important to me in my career, I mentioned earlier about surrounding yourself with awesome people, is having a mentor, having someone who can speak into your life and help give you some grounding and some direction and some encouragement. I am very grateful that I've had a dear friend in my life for a long time who has been a cheerleader, for lack of better words. We used to meet for breakfast almost every week for several years, and we still keep in touch. And he truly has a gift of encouragement. And now that I'm older and a little bit more in a more mature stage in my life, I'm learning that I can be an encouragement to others and to inspire others to be more encouraging. So if you're in that kind of that middle spot, if you're young in your career, find someone who can agree to be your mentor. And if you're in the middle of your career, do both ends. Be, you know, get out of your comfort zone and be a mentor for someone, as well as find a more senior person that can encourage you. What I've found is that when I've had some kind of, you know, mentoring relationship with another person, is that when they go off and they do really awesome things, I feel good that I can say, I had some part of that. You know, they accomplished the work. They did something amazing. I didn't do the work. They did it. But I can say,
boy, so, I knew him when.
You know, I can say, well, you know, he did that because, you know, I kind of pointed him in that direction. And now I can, you know, I can feel, you know, his accomplishments become my accomplishments, you know, and that, I think that really helps to, you know, give myself confidence that I'm doing good things.
That's a great story. I love that. I think I want to kind of wrap this up with one more kind of anecdote. One of the first projects that I was working as a contractor on, I felt totally like an imposter in that situation. And there was surrounded by many people who I respected in the larger community that I was working in. And we're, you know, marching down the path on this one project that I didn't understand why we were doing it. It seemed like a silly idea, but we kept going. And the longer we went, the sillier it seemed to get. But this feeling that I'm not qualified to judge kept like holding me back. Eventually, through, you know, some back channel conversations, I learned that many other people also agreed that this particular path had been somewhat silly. And so overcoming that imposter syndrome and questioning it, and we were able to correct the ship and make the project much more successful. And so the reason why I tell this story is overcoming imposter syndrome isn't just about you. Like, if you can overcome it and realize that you are good enough to do this and push forward, it can dramatically help you in your career, but it can also help your teams and your projects and your organizations do better. You have a perspective that nobody else has. And if you think something, you know, if you don't understand it, or you think, you know, you have an opinion on it, but you're too afraid to share it, you're doing a disservice to the overall environment that you're in.
Very well said. Hear, hear.
All right. So why don't we kind of wrap this whole thing up? Kind of talk about some key takeaways. What did we think was really important? David Welsh, what did you take away from today?
I take away that, well, that everyone feels this way, in that we should, I think that sharing the feeling and mentoring others so that they don't walk around with the same feeling is incredibly important, not just for yourself, but for, you know, obviously the other person, but an entire team. David Neal, how about you?
Key takeaway is to eat plenty of bacon and always use JavaScript.
Best takeaway ever.
It's exactly what you just said. It's, you know, it's not just you. These feelings affect everyone and everyone around you. It has an impact on everyone. And so, I think realizing that so many people experience the same exact thing, that you're not alone, that it's okay to speak up and speak out about, you know, what you're having issues with, what you're struggling with, and to know that everyone starts as a beginner, and everyone struggles with, you know, wanting to know what they're doing is good enough.
And to add to something that you had said earlier, a healthy bit of imposter syndrome should be good for you, right? It's going to drive you to learn more. And if there's one thing that I've learned from this industry, it's that anyone who thinks that they know enough, or anyone who doesn't get that tickle in their stomach, has no idea how much they don't know. So I think that imposter syndrome in a healthy dose can, you know, push you to do better. How about you, Todd?
Yeah, it's that balance of, if you're not a little bit of imposter syndrome, then you're What's the other extreme? The Dunning-Kruger effect, I think they call it, where you think you know everything, but actually you know nothing, the expert beginner. So I suppose it is always a little bit better to have a little bit of imposter syndrome than the other extreme. The big takeaway for me, the thing I think is the most important thing we talked about today, is that you're not competing with everybody else. Don't look at the people around you, the people in the community, the people on your team, the people in your company, and see them as your direct competition, because you're all after different things. And you don't need to know the same things that they know. Just be better than how you were yesterday and keep pushing towards where you want to go. And I think you'll do well. So I think that is our topic for the day. Does anybody have any last parting comments they'd like to add?
Eat lots of bacon. I think that was a great tip.
It was a good tip. Well, thanks so much, David Neal, for being on the show today. We really appreciate it. I'm Todd Gardner. My co-host is David Walsh. If you liked the show or you didn't like the show, please let us know. If you have ideas for what we should talk about next, guests, if you'd like to be a guest, if you have something you'd like to talk about, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Todd H. Gardner and
at David Walsh Blog.
Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. The Script and Style Show is recorded and produced by David Walsh and Todd Gardner. We'll see you next time on Script and Style.